I want to talk this morning about something I don't think I've actually spoken about before, but it seems like something that should have been addressed quite a bit. And that has to do with moods, feelings, and emotions, and how dominant they are in our daily lives, how much they fill us, how much they disturb us, how much they direct us, and how much we hide from them, obstruct them, or really try to transcend them. It's hard to get away from emotions and feelings and moods. They sweep in, they sweep out, they get engaged by our mind. They get engaged by our entire body. They create tension. They create joyful movement. They create drama. And I think many, many people who go into or approach meditation is to try to get free of moods and emotions and all of these feelings that are so hard to deal with. And the promise of spiritual practice and meditation is that you will transcend all of your daily bodily, emotional strife and excitement and drama, and you will find a place of total endless bliss, which is great. And I guess in a way I would wish that on you, but I have yet to arrive at that. Although I have thought many, many times that I was there, because I would have days, weeks, even months at times of a kind of continual Hawaiian sunset, beautiful, glorious, sweet, perfect, centered, and then something would happen outside, inside. Thunderstorms roll in, stuff happens, and I would go, well, so what does that mean about my spiritual life? Where's my center? Where's my endless bliss, my joy? And of course, I would feel often like a failure and like a fraud, and preaching all of this to you guys and to myself over a half a century. And you know, I've had to really work with all of this. And I'm learning and learning as I go, which is incredible, because honestly, the spiritual journey isn't over till it's over. And the learning isn't over. And the learning is enormous. It's truly enormous. And what I have found in my journey so far is that the more I surrender, open, let go of Bruce and all of Bruce's stuff, and I open to a more universal attunement to, if you will, totality, rather than suddenly becoming transcendent of and free of emotions, moods, and feelings, I am exposed to a much bigger canvas of all of that. Really, really potent. And which means I have to work harder than I've ever worked in order to do what Rudy talked about in his core teaching, which is take a breath, ask for help, and surrender. Open to the what is. And as you go deeper and deeper into spiritual practice, and you really, really reach into places so beyond you, you're only going to have to work deeper and harder and surrender more than you've ever imagined. The reward of that, if you want a reward, is that you are going to experience more than you ever imagined what it means to be human. Many human beings wall off all that stuff, lock it in, put it aside, go, not there, not there, not touching that one, not going in that. Oh my God, I can't get over this one. I hate this, this is terrible. That's most human beings' relationship to their weather report inside. That's all very human. It's all part of what we all do. But if you want to really, really experience what it means to be human, stop fighting all that stuff. Let it roll in. And then witness the, funny word coming up, majesty of what you are. It is big and it is massive and it is the collective experience of mood and emotion and feeling, and it can be really overwhelming. And even to this day, I get overwhelmed. I think I've told you I can barely watch movies anymore. The news is not doable. I watched a movie last night called In the Heights, which is suddenly appearing on HBO and in movie theaters, I'm told. And it is exuberant in its dance and music, but its story is about human suffering. It's about people who want more than they can get, who are limited by their color, by their skin, by their racial identity, by where they lived. And you know, that's not anything I haven't been aware of, but for some reason, in the midst of all of the music and dance, I was suffering like I have not suffered. I suffered what it meant to not be able to get what you want, to strive and not have, to want and not get. You know, not that I don't know those things, but watching this movie was massive in its universal impact. And I felt for every human being on the planet and the drama and the difficulty that they are going through day to day to survive. And the thing that kept them going in the movie, and I think keeps us going in life, is they danced and they sang and they found uplift. They found a way of being that allowed them to endure all of these moods and emotions and suffering. And in all of that expression of joy, they actually became vibrantly alive. So the majesty of experiencing all of that is how alive you become. But you will pay a price, meaning you're going to feel it. You're going to experience it. You are going to witness it. You are part of it. And in some ways, according to Buddha's teaching, you are it itself. If you are looking to escape the feelings and moods and emotions that come into you, meditation may not be the best approach. However, if you are willing to dive deep into the core of what it means to be emotional, sensory, feeling organism, and go really deep, you may start to discover that with that deep breath and wishing and asking to surrender, you rise or descend, it's kind of a simultaneous experience, into a place that is aware of the totality. And it is worth it. It is worth it to be aware of what this is. Not that you will cognate it, not that you'll go, I get it. You will just be one with it. And it is an extraordinary attunement to life itself. There are days where that journey is simple and easy and comforting and feels good. And you just go there and think, okay, I got this. And then there are days where the hurricanes happen and you cannot just sit still. You are blown all over the place. That's where the work is. Take a breath. Take a deep breath. Go in. Blanche and I watched a documentary on sensation the other day, on seeing and hearing and smelling and all the human sensations. And there was a guy who was caught in a cave, and waves of water came in, and they were left in the cave for 12 hours, freezing and nearly dying. And the guy said the way he survived was he started to meditate. And for him, meditation was take very deep, slow breaths as completely as you can, and let them go very gently, and feel the breath and the warmth of air, and do that for 12 hours as your body is shaking and freezing, and staying alert and going way inside and keeping yourself attuned to being. He had to do that so he wouldn't die. He survived. He survived, and he basically gave a small class in what it means to work hard. Work hard. You have to, at times in your day-to-day life, go, this is more than I expected. This is not what I had planned on. I wanted it to be easier. I wish I hadn't ever gotten into meditation. It's a waste of time. You know, you're going to go through all that stuff, but you have no other doorway to go through. The only thing you can do is, of course, medicate yourself out of all feeling and emotion and sense of self, or you dive deep into the core of self. And when you get into the core of self, you will find this strength, this capacity, this awareness, this power of being alive. And trust me, being alive is not a gentle, simple journey. It has moments of simplicity. It has moments of gentility, but it has all the other stuff. And you cannot buy into this journey just for its gentle, sweet grace notes of being. You have to buy into it for its totality. And now that I am older than all of you and witnessing what that is, I talk about it weekly now, so forgive me, I apologize, but boy, age is hitting me in a big way. There is not just mood and emotion and feeling, there is literal pain, discomfort, inability to do what you did the day before in terms of movement, in terms of lifting, even putting the plates on the top of the shelf. You know, these things suddenly are not possible. And you go, wow, this idea of loss is amazing. Loss turns into a sense of deep longing and emotion and sadness and all of these different feelings that it brings up when you're old. And where's your energy to deal with that? Well, all I can tell you is either you have a history on a practice of work or you don't. If you don't, it's very late in the game to begin that. I think some people do, and I'm not saying there's a rule about how it works or how it doesn't work. But what I'm saying is there is value in sitting and practicing and working with your mood structure, working with your emotional life, working with all of the feelings that start to come up in your life and sometimes flood you with so many sensations that you don't even know where to go to deal with them. Well, I'll tell you, take a breath. Deep breath. Hold it. Get quiet. Ask inside for help, to surrender, and watch what happens. Do you think one breath will do it? Maybe. Do you think 12 hours of breaths will do it? Maybe. Is it worth doing? I'm going to say yes. Because the alternative is succumbing to whirlwinds of stuff that keep you wildly imbalanced, out of kilter, and in many ways, profoundly unhappy. I will tell you that because I experienced that. Last night, I was profoundly unhappy. I felt the suffering of humanity. I felt how unfair it is to so many people. Not that they can't sing and dance and find joy and love and communion and connection and sex and the other person around them. That's really helpful. But what I did, this is my journey, is I folded laundry. Folding laundry was amazing. I put my socks together. I put my underwear together. I saved Blanche from having to do my laundry, which for me was a gift of giving. And I felt I lightened up the equation. I breathed quietly, and then I went to bed, and it was a beautiful sleep. These are things you do. Let me throw out another option. And really, it's at the core of all this. Something told me this week to call a person who was a friend of ours when we moved here and lived here years ago in the Rhinebeck area. And it said, call him and invite him to lunch. During the pandemic, we really couldn't do any of that. So I called him. And I said, would you like to have lunch? And he said, yes. And he came over to our house for lunch, and we made a very nice lunch, and we talked for 3 hours. And I kept wondering, what am I supposed to get from this experience? What's my feedback? Because he was not giving very much. And I kind of wondered, and then this voice came and it said, has nothing to do with you. It's all about what you give him. It's completely about him. It's about the other. It's about reaching out. So this voice came into me and said, call him. And I didn't go, really? I didn't do that. I just got on the phone. You don't dial anymore, but I got on the phone and I called him and I said, I would love to have lunch. And at the end of the lunch, what I understood was that my sense of being was taken over for his sake. It was to feed and nurture him. And I talk about this now sort of weekly. If you're having struggles with yourself, it's because you are preoccupied with yourself. You are lost in yourself. You are self-involved. And if you want a way out of self-involvement, turn outward. If something comes into you, and it can and will if you're open, and says, call, visit, act upon this, write a note to someone, do it. Don't ask, really? Don't go through that mental crap. Just do it. It is so amazing what happens when you stop thinking and worrying about your moods, your emotions, your stuff, and you just turn it outward, turn it to others. So the teaching is really interesting. When you are overcome with all of these things sliding into the mental, emotional side of your life, you can go in deep, ask for help to surrender. You can turn yourself outward and feed and nurture others. The key to that is not being totally caught up and obsessed with you. And the gift of that is that you starts to break apart, spread open, disintegrate, if you will, expand, and you get to be free-ish of so much of this stuff that often dominates and conflicts you in your life. Now, as I said, if you really go deep and expand, your sense of emotion, feeling, and the sense of being part of the world is only going to expand. So you are going to feel more. But what that teaches you as you feel more is the boundaries of yourself. And this is something I speak about weekly, but it's really important. Who is reacting to this massive emotion? And you will discover, interestingly enough, the more you expand, that the reaction that you are having is often the two-year-old in you, the one-year-old, the two-month-old, that you are dealing with feelings and emotions that are so old, they're not part of your cognitive self at all. They're just way out on the boundaries. And if you go out onto those boundaries and you just open and let go, you become freer and freer of your own personal self. And then there is no reaction to all of this stuff. It's simply witnessing it, being one with it. And that is a bigger journey than most of us realized we have signed up for. You know, we're all looking to get happy and to have good emotions and not have to deal with the bad stuff. That's not where this goes. This journey is into the journey beyond yourself, beyond the walls and the constricts of your mental, emotional, feeling self. And I can only tell you from my experience so far, I am shocked by the boundaries that still exist, by the parts of me that still come up. I had no clue they were there. They are foundational. They are central to my sort of innate being. And now is the time for me to go, also, let them go, or let them be. The idea of letting something go is that you will be free of it, and there's a you who wants to be free. That's cheating. It doesn't work that way. You wanting to let go is you saying, please get me happier. No. What happens is you go, so, not to be better or anything, just to allow it to be itself, to allow it to express its totality as it wants to and as it will witness through your particular eyes, ears, nose, brain, your heart. It will experience all of this. It will feel all of this, and it will inform itself. You may feel it passing through you as it speaks to itself, but it's talking to itself. It's looking at the world. It's suffering the world. It is enjoying the world. It is exploring the world. What is it? How is it? Why is it? Again, I've said this years ago. I could have given you answers. Not anymore. No answers at all. I have no clue. Rudy called it the guys upstairs. We call it emptiness, nothingness. I mean, there's a million names for it, some of which excite a certain kind of emotional mood value inside you, but let all that go. And you will not know it, but you will be the essence of it. In fact, you are the essence of it. In fact, you are the essence of it even as you're listening to this talk. You are never not that. But if you can take the breath and go deep, open up and turn outward, you will find that the barriers that define you from this emotional, feeling, complicated life will start to break down, not for your benefit, but for the benefit of the very thing that you are, that wants to know itself or witness itself or experience itself. I'm not going to be the judge of that. All I know is I watch it happen. If it says, call this person and invite them out to lunch, do it. If it says, write an email to so-and-so you haven't talked to in 2 years, do it. Listen, because it knows what to do. It tells you what to do. Mostly it's very quiet. So if you haven't gotten somewhat silent in yourself, you won't hear it. But if you get quiet, if you open up your belly chakra, your intuitive chakra, it can often go right to that space and it knows what to do. It knows where to go, how to do it, why to do it. It tells you this is the next thing you do. And if it gives you no information, then do whatever you want to do. It's your life. But if it tells you what to do, do it. Do it. It's an exquisite, extraordinary way to live, because you become the vehicle through which something vast, holy, majestic, remarkable, beyond understanding, uses you, filters through you, and in fact, in some ways, eliminates you so that it can just be absolutely one with itself. Crazy journey. It's a crazy journey, but we are really on it. Some of you take this more seriously than others. Some of you are here to get happy, make yourself comfortable in the world. Vladimir Putin the other day said, happiness is an illusion. And he actually, I think, is right. You know, that that it's something that's always on the horizon that we strive for, but what you arrive at is something that is not ultimately happiness. Although you can have moments that feel like that, what you will arrive at is something that transcends or is beyond that part of duality, which has happiness and unhappiness. You move beyond that. And some of you are here out of habit. Some of you are here because you're not comfortable in your daily life, where everybody has different things and you're all on your own very complex journey into something that is, I think, ultimately profound. But how far you go and how deep you go and how much you use this is really up to you. The thing that I do, which Rudy in a way instructed me to be able to do, is to send Shaktipat, which is a kind of higher energy, meaning it's not coming from me, into your system. And it's very, very wise energy, and it knows where to go. So it knows there are people who have closed minds, closed hearts, closed belly chakras, and it just goes there and it starts to do its work. And in some people who I've worked with for years, I see it working very slowly, but people keep appearing. And this thing doesn't judge that. It just keeps working. It keeps doing it. I've seen people who have opened so slowly, but the miracle is they've opened. And there are people who don't open. And it keeps working on them and it loves them, but them is you. And the question is, are you working? Are you doing it? Do you want this thing? Does anything I'm saying make sense to you? I don't know, really, in the end. I really don't know. But they tell me to show up. They tell me to keep talking. They don't tell me to talk as long as I do. That's my own problem. But I will bring this to a close as quickly as I can by saying that we are all here to serve something. If you get caught in your emotions, you get caught in your mood systems, you are going to be the victim of that if you can't figure out what to do. And this practice will help you by two simple things, teaching you how to go in and how to go out and to let the you in the middle disappear. That's the journey. And I wish you all the best with that. I'm here to help you with that. I will talk to you ad nauseum. I will talk to you in person. I will do it through email, whatever you like. I am here to kind of guide you through this. It is possible. I don't promise you an ending that works. I have no clue. I'm not at the end. But I do know this is a process that is remarkable beyond belief, and we're sharing it. So thank you guys for showing up. And if you would like, I will take questions. Anyone who wants to ask a question, I'm available. Richard, was that a question or a wave? A wave? Okay. Are there any questions? Yes.
I have a question.
Erica.
Okay. So when I started, and even now, actually, I was very uninterested in becoming enlightened. I just liked what was happening. I was very interested in what was the changes that were taking place in my life and in me. But now I feel like I have a goal, which is to be in gratitude all the time. And then you told me about the guy in the cave, and I thought, I probably wouldn't be in gratitude in that situation. And maybe that's not really a realistic goal. And I just wanted to get some feedback. Maybe the goal is just acceptance. Being in gratitude all the time is too lofty of a goal.
It's an odd goal, but it is a reality of what occurs. Gratitude starts to happen in such a profound way that it didn't need to be a goal. It just arises out of being. And then you'll be grateful for gratitude. It's a present tense. I will tell you, just that you asked that question, the person I've known for all these years and who you've become, I'm grateful because I see the transformation that really is happening and has happened and is ongoing in you over the course of all of these years. And it's a lot, many, many years. So thank you for asking that question. The enlightenment is not personal. You can't have it and you won't be grateful for enlightenment as though it's yours. Gratitude is the side effect of enlightenment, and it just happens. And it happens not just to you, it's a thing that moves through the system, but it also comes and goes. So you have to be aware that there are days you're not going to be grateful. And when the pain comes in a big way, like that guy in the cave, gratitude is not the first thing that will emerge. I will tell you, when he got out of the cave, there was a lot of gratitude. And that's the normal function of gratitude. It's like grateful for being uplifted, carried forward, expanded, given more of your life than you ever imagined could be had. You know, that's reason for gratitude. And when you touch that, it sparks everything. Your heart just goes wild with thank yous. And I sense that in you, Erica. I sense it happening. I sense it evolving. So I thank you, and I am grateful for you, and we will share gratitude together. Anybody else? Yes, Wendy.
Can you talk a little bit, Bruce, about the speed of growth, where you talked about being closed, sometimes it's slow, maybe sometimes the speed of growth is faster, but our individual participation in doing the work and opening, and what that could look like, or how can I know, you know, and measure or just open more for that speed?
Imagine you're lifting weights, you know, and you're in the gym. You know, if you're not getting results, you're not lifting heavy enough weights, you're not doing enough work. You know, it's just not happening. If you are lifting weights and muscle is forming, you'll see it and you'll go, oh, and it's often attractive. It looks good. It feels good. So there are people here who have been lifting weights with their pinkies for years, and that there's no manifestation really. But the fact that they show up and do the pinkies makes me feel like, okay. I mean, I wish I could have them go to the heavy weights, but all I can do is encourage that. And I will tell you something that will encourage that dramatically is getting old, because if this isn't going to cut it, within 2 days of feeling shitty, you're just unable to function anymore. You don't want that, because you're going to feel really shitty a lot when you get really old. And that's when you've got to do this. You've got to press the weight. So it's a judgment that isn't mental. It's kind of visual. I mean, you see it, you feel it. You are aware that you have mechanism in place that can allow you to function in the world in a way that you might not have been able to function in your old personality, in your old frustrations, in your own old mood values, you know, that used to take over your life. You'll see that that's different. Now, when that expands into something greater, it can be misunderstood as something wrong with you. But I can only tell you, for those of you who are expanding in that way, there's nothing wrong with you. You are expanding into lifting, if you will, the weight of the world, which is very heavy. And when you start to do that, you start to find a whole other level of work. You cannot lift the world, clearly, but there is something you do that's called support. And you support the world. And that's something we can all learn to do. And we feel it when we're doing it. So the judgment, the analysis of one's inner growth is not here. It's a kind of feeling or knowing and a kind of witnessing, hey, muscle. Okay?
Thank you.
Anybody else? Okay. Oh, okay, Janice.
Yeah, you know, sometimes I will be with friends and family and it feels like I don't know them at all and I'm not connected to them at all. And then there's other times when I meet total strangers, even on Zoom, even in some classes, and I feel like I've known them forever. Do you have anything to say about that?
It's energetic, really. It may actually be true. I don't know if, you know, multiple lives and all of that, and people who walk by you suddenly were your children from 500 lifetimes ago. I mean, that's interesting storytelling, and maybe there's truth to that. There's also a kind of energetics harmonic. And there are some people you have a harmony with that just It just happens, and it's really beautiful. And often the family you get is not that. It's often disharmonic, and we feel anxiety and conflict, and we feel these strange atonal sort of things going on. And either we develop a taste for the atonal and start to like music that is kind of like it's not Beethoven, but you start to get, you know, Shostakovich, and you go, oh, you find there's an artistry even in that. And learning how to deal with those people, especially if they were in your life and you were born into their world, that's your job. And Rudy would always say the centerpiece of the mandala of spiritual life is what's in front of you, who's in front of you. You've got to work that out before you start to play on the outer realm of this circle here. You know, you can do all that later, but you've got to start at the center, and you've got to learn to open to be repository of care and love for those who are around you. And if you can do that, you will really grow. That's the core element of growth. And then expand that out to the periphery, you know, but you got to love the people around you. And that often they're the most difficult. But here's something I can also tell you, because also love is very complicated, and it's an action, and it wants a reaction, and it kind of gets involved. The simpler version of that is called being present. Be present with difficult people. Family or not family, just show up, be there, open, relaxed, available. And my experience with that is it slowly encompasses the environment, the situation, and something melts. And you start to discover a harmonic that was not there before. And it's really beautiful. And it's simpler than loving, which is an activity or an actual action. Being, showing up, being present doesn't involve much except consciousness and a kind of availability, openness to what is. So if you can cultivate that, all the people in your life will suddenly reveal in a way why they were there, why they're important, what the gift is that they brought you in their dissonance, and how valuable they have been to your own symphony. And that becomes something very special. So if you're just looking for make me happy, satisfy my needs, recognize me, well, yeah, you're going to find that difficult. Turn it outward. Be with them. Love them, or just be present with them and watch what happens. It's astounding. It really is astounding. And then don't take it personally and don't go, wow, look what I did, because that just gets in the way. Just go, aha, or ah, so. You see, it's really beautiful. Okay. Anybody else? Okay. You're free to go do all of the stuff that you now have just been hearing about. Have a wonderful week or so. I'll be back in 2 weeks. And, you know, for whatever reason, I think I said it last time I talked to you, this thing loves you so much. It's unbelievable how much. And it just sends you tons and tons of well-being and love. So take care of it with you. Bye.